Hello and welcome to the 17th episode of Quiver the Green Arrow podcast. For the episode, wait, what was the name of the episode?
The Huntress Returns.
The Huntress Returns. Oh.
Whoa.
Somebody posted the title of this episode. I can't speak. We haven't podcasted in 2 weeks.
I know, it's all gone.
No, really, the truth is that we just talked for 45 minutes and did a separate podcast. And I don't know what that podcast is called, but it wasn't Quiver.
No, but it was awesome.
But we have to figure out what we do with those, because we do it a lot. Somebody posted that this episode should have been called Leverage.
Oh, yeah.
I think that would have been a great title, because that was sort of like
the through line for everything.
So, so let's say it's titled The Huntress Returns, but the Quiver title is Leverage.
Yeah, that's great.
So thank you. I can't remember who posted that. I think they posted it on Facebook, but thank you for that. So
that's good.
That's your half shout out, your almost shout out for this episode.
Oh, by the way, I'm Amanda Konkin, one of your co-hosts.
Yeah, and I'm your other host, Michael Cohen.
We just talked to you. We talked to you because we missed you for 2 weeks, and we just like came back and couldn't wait to start talking to you again. Because I missed recording really badly. Like, I know that we took a break over the holidays as well, but this felt like an actual
weird
break.
I think the break over the holidays might have actually been longer.
Yeah, it was. It was like three or four weeks. Yeah. So.
But this one felt so long, and I don't know if that was just because like Arrow got up to like just this breakneck speed.
Yeah.
By the time that we went away, and the last episode that we watched, just for a refresher for everybody, and I mean we'll get it in the previously on, but I mean Tommy found out. Merlin almost revealed that he was the Dark Archer to his son. We found out that Sarah might still be alive.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So many things happened. It was such a huge and like that's just the last episode. The episodes previous to that were also all huge, like with Felicity joining the team and with all the great stuff with Deathstroke and it's been so great. And then I think to stop it at that fever pitch and be like, okay, now wait 2.5-ish weeks, right? Yeah. 3 weeks almost.
Yeah.
I think that it was like, but we want more. Arrow. Like, where's the rest of it? Whereas I think the break before the holidays was a bit more of a definitive, like, clean break.
Yeah,
of like, like, we're taking a break for the holidays.
Yeah.
He was in the hospital laid out or whatever. And it was like, okay, there was a little bit of finality to it. There was no finality to the last episode. It was very much like, all we did was set up the rest of the season, and now we're going to make you wait for the rest of the season. So coming back and having the break, it was a long break, and it is nice to be back. And I think also for the two of us, it was a very long 2 weeks.
It was. Gosh, yeah. Oh, my show's almost done. Yeah. My contract's almost done.
Yeah,
and we're coming.
Worlds have changed.
Yeah.
In the last 2.5-3 weeks,
crazy.
So.
I love that our life is now like in sync with Arrow in how it like has ups and downs.
Yeah, it's weird. It's very much like coming back. Things are very different for us as well as for the characters on the show.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool.
That's good.
We have a synchronicity going on. But let's check in with some of our listeners.
Yay.
Why don't you go with yours first?
Reader email. So this is from Edwin Cordova. Awesome name. There's a street in Vancouver called Cordova that I've been on for the last 3 weeks because that's where my show's happening. Anyways, Edwin Cordova says, "Hey guys, my name's Eddie from PA and I'm a big fan of your show. Don't know if you're aware of this yet, but it seems Manu Bennett has been promoted to series regular for season 2. I'm very excited to hear this news, for I'm a big fan of his character in Spartacus. Thanks for the podcast and keep up the great work." Awesome. Eddie from PA. PA is Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. I have some friends in PA. Awesome.
Now, this email came in. We're recording on Saturday because we were both really busy this week, and this email just came in this morning, so I didn't have time to verify it yet.
Ooh.
So I just want to throw that caveat on it that I mean, yes, I believe that Manu Bennett will be back.
They would be dumb if they didn't bring Manny Bennett.
And that he'd be a series regular, because I think what's going... I mean, everything that we get in this episode and previous episodes, saying, like, the two of them are pretty much inseparable at the moment, right? Like, they're kind of a dynamic duo of their own. They're kind of their own Batman and Robin at the moment. With,
oh, man.
With Oliver kind of being the Robin.
Yeah, he kind of is. I think it's really exciting.
But, so yeah, I mean, if that is true, Amanda's trying to look it up to see if she can verify.
Feverishly, but I don't know if it's gonna.
Because it literally came in at like an hour before we started recording, and I was getting ready to record, so I didn't have time to double check it. But I thought that it was newsworthy and that we should talk about.
And Wikipedia says it's true, so therefore, someone named Leslie Goldberg wrote a thing for the Hollywood Reporter called Arrow's Manny Bennett up to series regular for season 2 exclusive. Cool.
So
the Hollywood Reporter coming
to you. That's 3 series regulars added to the cast.
Yeah.
That's Felicity has been added. Roy Harper.
Mm-hmm.
Roy Harper? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Has been added, and we see some really great stuff from him in this episode.
Yeah.
I don't know if you could even call it foreshadowing as much as just like him sort of coming out of the superhero closet.
Yeah.
and now we've got Manu Bennett, Slade Wilson being added.
Throwing it out there leaves some space for people to die. Just saying.
It definitely does. That's a heavy cast because we started with a heavy cast with this series.
Yeah.
We've seen Walter kind of disappear, and I think that this is the reason why. Like, you see, I think in the initial, in the pilot, they go, okay, let's throw in all these characters and see what sticks. And then very quickly they realized, okay, we're bringing in Red Arrow, we're bringing in Speedy, we're bringing in Felicity as a regular character as opposed to just sort of a one-off character. Yeah. I think partially because she just
is awesome.
The actress and the character were so well received. I think that they made a transition to go. Mm-hmm. Like, I think they put that in there as kind of like a test the waters. Yeah. Like I said, we'll put all these characters in, we'll see what sticks in the first 3 or 4 episodes. And then they found out who was sticking and who wasn't. And I don't know if it was necessarily who wasn't, but Thea has definitely taken a backseat.
Mm-hmm.
She's very much there just to bring Roy in at this point, I think. Yeah. How long she'll stick around on the series, I think, is a big question mark. I think
they
Walter,
called her Speedy a lot in this episode, just throwing it out there, though. So it's one of those up in the air thing. But
with Walter, I don't think it was that he didn't hit with viewers. I think he did. But he is older, so on the CW, he doesn't necessarily fit the profile. So I think that producers probably would have been pushing for him to be put in the moved to the back. But then his story also facilitates him easily lifting out.
And he opened up the space for John Barrowman to come in, right? Because he fits that demographic in terms of, like, the older, like, dad character. And so it just needed to open space
up. Yeah, well, and so does Paul Blackthorne, right?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
Like, when we start to really think about how many characters there are on the show and how populated and diversely populated it is, and, like, people use diversity and they think racially, but, like, diversely as in, there's all sorts of ages, there's all sorts of genders, there's all sorts of positions and sort of just like character motivations.
Mm-hmm.
It is all over the place, especially because we're sort of concurrently running season 5 and season 1 that we talked about.
So
we have our season 1 cast of characters, which could be a show in and of itself.
Yeah.
And then we have our season 5 cast of characters, which is a show in and of itself, right? That's backed up by the season 1 flashbacks. So,
I feel like we always should put a disclaimer at the beginning of our episode saying, if you haven't listen to all of our previous podcasts, some of these things we say will be confusing.
Yes, but you know what? Like, people will ask what the in-jokes are at a certain point, and it's sort of a thing of, like, if you hang out long enough, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It's interesting to see them bringing these characters on as full series regulars.
Yeah.
Which points to some of them surviving this season and then, you know, being brought into the fold and that sort of thing. But I think you're right that it sort of points to some characters not sticking around.
But it's awesome, and Manu Bennett, I mean, I'm all for that.
Well, and you know what, the one that hasn't been added that I feel like either they're holding it, like they're playing it close to the vest so that we're on the edge of our seats towards the end of the season, or we're right to assume. Yeah. John Barrowman hasn't been mentioned as a series regular. He is still a guest.
He fits that bill better as well, though, even if they do bring him on in season two.
Yeah.
I can't imagine them bringing him on as a main... I don't know. I think it would be... I don't know.
See, now, I feel like the way that you handle that is that you kill him, and I'm using quote fingers. I'll borrow from Steve from Geek Out Loud, dink dink. they need to kill him at the end of this season, but he needs to come back, and not in season two, maybe like the cliffhanger season finale of season two,
that'd be great.
But just sort of the like hand out of the rubble, like he's still alive. And then have him come back in season three. Nice. Like, I feel like that's the way that they need to handle that character, especially with the things that they've set up, is that we need finality towards the end of this season.
Mm-hmm.
We need an awesome climax, but as it is with comic books, I mean, John Glover came back in the final season of Smallville, he had died like two seasons previous.
Yeah,
like, died right. on screen body death, but because of the nature of
science
superheroes
fiction.
And comics, you can bring in Earth 2 John Glover, and it's all good. Yeah. I mean, and John Snyder died, and then they brought him back as a ghost.
Yeah.
Like not even as like a figurative or like metaphorical or like it's all in your head. No, he
was a ghost.
Literally, he was a ghost. Like he came back as ghost Jonathan Kent, and imparted some wisdom that he wasn't around to impart anymore. But yeah, so. You know, there's room for all of these sorts of things. And we don't quite have as much wiggle room on Arrow, but
we'll figure it.
We'll see.
We have another email, too.
We have another email.
Gosh, there's so much to talk about.
So here's the other email. This is about this episode. Awesome. This one's from Ben Kritzman, who's been huge on our Facebook page.
So thanks for that.
And he says, "Hey, Amanda and Mike, where to begin with this new episode? I was really looking forward to Arrow finally being back. Mike can attest to that himself. 2 weeks or so with no new episodes was nothing short of taxing. So when I sat down to watch tonight's episode, I was excited. I knew going in that Jessica DeGaux would return as the Huntress, but what I didn't know was how poorly she would be handled."
Mm-hmm.
This is actually a bit of a common opinion right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like I agree with it.
Yeah, me too.
The whole "my father killed my fiance, now I'll have my revenge" angle was done well enough in the character's introduction. Why bring it back so soon?
Mm-hmm.
Everything that happened in The Huntress Returns accomplished nothing but making Helena unsympathetic and downright villainous. What separates her from the other people Ollie's taken down already? The fact that they shared a bed? That's all... that is it, right?
Yeah,
like,
that is exactly.
Other than that, she is
out.
Yeah, she is the same as everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
She's a little bit worse than some
she
of the
is.
People that he's taken out at this point, because she's kind of vindictive as well, right? Like the other ones, like they're bad guys. And so they're just kind of going around doing their bad guy thing. But with her, it's like she's been told better, and but she's back for revenge, and she's including Oliver in that, right? Despite all that, there were some great parts to this episode, chief among them the scenes between Ollie and Tommy. I really look forward to seeing where that relationship goes, as well as the continued adventures and misadventures of Slade and Ollie on the island. For some reason, I could see that being an animated show like Adventure Time. So I put that to, you know, if somebody else doesn't get to it first, I'll probably get around to drawing that, putting it on our Facebook page. But
that's awesome.
Somebody should get on that and draw some. I think it should be called Island Time.
Oh yes,
and it should be it should be
so
Ollie and Slade.
Yeah.
Anyway, I really hope next week's episode is better. It looks like we're getting another vigilante.
Yeah.
Whoever is introduced next, I hope their character is handled better than Helena has been.
Mm-hmm.
Keep up the great job, Ben. So thank you, Ben.
That was very articulate, Ben. Thank you.
Yeah, that was a really good email. A lot of really great points mm-hmm. about this episode, and I think like kind of lead in yeah. to talk about this episode. Yeah.
And as you can tell, we sort of comment on things as we're reading them. I feel kind of bad because some of that stuff was Mike. We were commenting as we read the emails. I always like, how do we do our email voice versus our responding? But it's good. It opened up a lot to talk about.
This was a difficult episode for me because I feel like coming off of the height, as we were talking about, of the previous episodes, I don't think that there's a lot that could have matched up to it. Mm-hmm. I do feel like this storyline was completely unnecessary and did nothing to further Oliver's character or any of our other casts. There was some B-plot stuff. There was a B plot and a C plot, right? Yeah. So that's what I was going to say is that the Roy Harper subplot I really liked. Mm-hmm. I like what they're doing with that character and how they're setting him up. And the Lance family
stuff I really
enjoyed. So all that stuff kind of going on in the background was much more interesting. And the island stuff. The island stuff in this episode was really good, but there wasn't enough of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like when the Huntress is around, we focus so much on her.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. One of the writers must have, like, a real thing for the Huntress in the comics. That's the only thing that I can see, is that that's why she's had three episodes. She's been really, like, the only other character that's been back as much as her, I think, is the Huntress. Or, the Huntress, China White.
Oh, yeah.
But not in this capacity, right? Like, we haven't even kind of gotten China White's backstory or anything really about that character. She's just been important to certain plot points.
Yeah.
But it's odd when you bring back a character like that. I didn't really like the Huntress in her two previous episodes.
In the beginning, why did they bring her back so soon?
Yeah.
I can't figure it out for the life of me.
I feel like somebody around there, one of the executive producers or one of the writers, must love the character and is trying to do something with
it. Or is it because they have the rights to the Huntress and she's enough of a superhero that they can bring her in as, like, a superhero? Or, like,
what? I think that because she's got a connection to Batman, that's one of the reasons why she's being used.
Right.
I think also because of the fact that she uses a crossbow.
Yeah.
And Oliver uses a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
There aren't a lot of other characters at this point that they can bring in without starting to introduce superpowers.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
I feel like they could do Blue Beetle. But they'd have to do Ted Kord Blue Beetle, like the old school Blue Beetle, who's like a technology expert.
Yeah, yeah.
And they could get away with that by having some high-tech stuff on. Mm-hmm. But how they would present a Blue Beetle on this show would be really difficult. Because, like, how do you bring that character? Like, his name is Blue Beetle. He wears an outfit that he's got big, silly insect eye goggles. And I don't know. They're avoiding Black Canary.
Yeah.
And so I feel like Huntress, for that reason, is being brought in because she's a female of the same sort of, like, kick butt, but, you know, without superpowers. Because Black Canary has superpowers, but her superpowers, I find, are always the best when they're not used very often. Like, if it can sort of be her last resort, like, she comes in, she does her thing. On Batman Brave and the Bold, the animated series, she would show up and she would beat the snot out of people and then she would use her superpowers when it was sort of like they're running away or like a helicopter coming at them, something bigger than them, right? Mm-hmm. But if it was like three or four thugs, she wouldn't even wouldn't even occur to use the superpowers. And I think that that's the best way to handle her. And I think that's what we'll end up getting with Arrow, if she even has superpowers, right? Yeah. Like, if it's even that. Yeah. And it seems like they're setting up Sarah to be Black Canary more than anything. Yeah. And I really think that she's going to show up, she's going to be the Black Canary, and then she's going to meet an untimely end, and then Laurel will take up the
mantle. I didn't even think about that. That's a great theory, and now it's mine. It's mine. I'm stealing it.
But, I mean, like, I'm sure that if I sat down and I really thought about it, that I could think of some other characters. But it's really hard to think of characters without superpowers without going into the Batman realm.
Yeah.
They mentioned Coast City in this episode. There were a lot of Easter eggs and mentions in this episode. They mentioned Coast City. Coast City is where Green Lantern's from. So it's really unfortunate that that's where... what's her name? McKenna's gonna go because it gets wiped off the face of the earth by Parallax. Or no, by not by Parallax, by Cyborg Superman.
So, McKenna, don't die!
Yeah, so she's got she has decimation in her future. But yeah, like so Coast City, I think, is the first mention of a city that we've gotten that has a legit superhero in it. Not like one of our sort of run-of-the-mill vigilantes. Because we've gotten Bloodhaven mentioned, but and that's where Nightwing's from. And it's also, I think, where Huntress came from. I think that's where she originated. But, you know, Nightwing is Robin, right? Yeah. So that's connected to Batman. So I don't think that we'll see Nightwing. It would be cool if we saw Nightwing. Yeah. But, it's just so difficult to think of other characters that they can bring in.
Yeah.
But,
you know.
To wait and see. We'll see. To wait and see. Season 2 or 3, I think.
Yeah.
We can see those characters coming. But let's start our episode proper.
Yeah.
We're just starting with the previously on and everything. So I am hitting play now for those of you who are syncing up.
Yeah.
There's the big explosion of fire. Billionaire found. This was a good primer, though. I feel like if anybody coming into the show for the first time wanting to sort of get caught up, they can with this one.
Yeah.
And then we're into the actual last time on Arrow.
I'm glad that River Song's still around.
That she wasn't just like sort of...
came and then like left.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
it's hard for...
Well, I don't think that that story has culminated yet. It's being set up right now.
God, I just really don't like her. Sorry, we're doing the flashback of the Huntress. And I don't know, I think I talked about this in the episode when we podcasted about it, but, like, she wasn't super likable then either. Like,
she doesn't have the same strength that the other characters have. Hey, you know, I think I made an impassioned plea for a little bit more half-naked ladies.
Oh, and then...
Because we get so many half-naked men.
Yeah, and...
So I would just like to thank the crew over at Arrow for giving me what I wanted. I really did like this, though, because this... With the exception... She's not wearing a cape.
Yeah.
This outfit that she's wearing right here, that Huntress is wearing, is actually... much closer to the comics.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because she sort of does wear, like, that one-piece bathing suit look.
Right.
But then she also has a cape.
Right.
But other than that, did she have a mask? I think she had a mask.
Well, no.
Her mask in the comics is almost like a Wolverine mask, but without the cap part. Yeah. Just sort of, like, the big fanned part.
Yeah.
But, so Huntress is back. We're in a strip club. For those who aren't aware,
yes,
the half naked ladies, and she's tracked down her father's attorney because she's looking for her father because she still wants her revenge.
So that was the hard thing to set up is the fact that like he's now going into a safe house, and she's wearing sort of a big long coat when she gets on the motorcycle,
her trench coat,
like a cape esque.
Yeah.
Thing.
Yeah, it's sort of gay.
By the way, this is Sean. I was in a play with him. So the bouncer that comes into the VIP room is like one of my friends on Facebook. I was like, "Hey Sean, I was watching Arrow. You're on it. That's cool." Nice. And he's like,
"That's one of people's favorite things about listening to us talk about Arrow is when we're like, "Oh, we've been there. Oh, we know that person."
Yeah. It's cool. So I was like, "Oh, wow, Sean. Hey, what's up?" That's cool. You're playing bouncer.
She kills she leaves the attorney dead, even after he gives her what information.
Yeah, because she's vindictive. And Steve Aoki DJing, kind of cool. So we're in the club here, which is kind of a cool club. I like it. I would go there.
Yeah,
it's
I might check it out. I'm an old man. I don't like all the loud music hopping and the hopping.
The title of the club, Verandi, I think it is.
I think it's Verdant.
Verdant. I don't know. I didn't.
I'm pretty sure it's Verdant. Which is
what is it? I don't know what it
green.
is.
Green.
Oh, okay.
Green is verdant. Like, really? Like, when you describe something as verdant, you're describing something as, like lush or
green. Oh, nice.
Like a verdant green is, like, a very...
I don't describe colors very often, green. So I apologize for not knowing that.
As a graphic designer, I need to have these words. But yeah, so McKenna and Oliver are talking about the opening of the club. And it's actually going to open, legit open.
Yeah, which is great.
But now we're at the Big Belly Burger with Laurel and Detective Lance,
yeah.
And he thinks that he's that they're gonna patch things up. She's yeah. essentially lied.
Yeah.
It's a trap. I said it when I was lying. I was like, it's a trap. because he's ambushed by Laurel's mother.
I just keep wanting to call it a River Song.
Yeah, by River Song.
His
performance in this scene is incredible, though. The subtext and the layers of what he's angry, he's sad, he's just, he's all of the emotions at the same time. Like, he's happy to see her, but he's so mad at himself that he's happy to see her. Like, and then she's
wearing her wedding ring. Did you see that?
There you go. That's why we watch these things. That's
why we watch it. She's wearing her wedding ring. Oh, man. Subtext. Look at this show is so good. Man.
And then when he sees this picture and he's just like, he doesn't want to believe it because he's accepted it. He's accepted her death and he's been through it all.
Yeah.
He does. Like, he looks at it and he goes, that could be her.
Yeah.
But he doesn't want to allow himself the leeway to be disappointed, to be let down, because he's dealt with it. And like, he says these things.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's just so... But it's not just saying it. Yeah. He is conveying it so
well. Look at that. He just said, why? And then there's this big pause, and he said, why are you making... Oh, gosh. I love Paul Blackthorne. Can I just, like, talk about it again? Just about how amazing he is as, like,
an actor. I think this episode has shown that he really is the strongest performer on this.
Yeah.
And then we're hanging out in the Glades with Thea.
Yeah.
And her rich friend, who's very uncomfortable hanging out in the Glades with her, I think.
Is Thea wearing her yellow pants here? Because Thea's pants are back in this episode, and I love it. I don't know. If she's not wearing them right now, she does eventually wear her yellow pants.
Does
and
she?
I'm like, yay, Thea's pants!
I like that Roy's always wearing his red hoodie.
And can I put out that Guy B is, like, one of my fave, like, television directors? He directed this one as well.
Oh,
he's very good. He does he does genre very well. So, it's kind of cool.
I really like him. I really like this character that they're building.
Yeah, I do as well. He's very likable. I was really worried about them throwing another character in here in such a prominent way, but he's doing such a good job. And thank you, whoever is like a huge fan of Colton Haynes, that wrote this big thing on our Facebook wall about how he was like in Teen Wolf and all this stuff, and it was a big deal that he left that series to be on this one. So he's apparently bringing a lot of fans onto this show as well that like him from other genres or from other television series, which is cool. And I think they're doing a good job with him, so it's good.
This was Diggle. A cool setup. That's, if anybody didn't catch that, Diggle was looking at somebody, a Syrian president assassinated or something like that. He's following Deadshot. And that's the sort of thing that shows that these writers are a cut above. Because without drawing attention to it, what they did there is they're setting up in later episodes, when Deadshot comes back or when Diggle leaves for some reason, we know why.
Yeah.
It's because he's tracking Deadshot.
Yeah.
He's waiting for his opportunity.
Yeah.
And you can see, like, he's upset. He's disappointed in himself that's what he's doing and that he's obsessed with it and that vengeance, because what does he tell Oliver all the time, right? Yeah. Like, but he's going against all of that to get revenge. So I thought that was really cool. And then we just have the really simple... Everything else in this scene was kind of just like
yada yada. Helena's
like,
coming
back. It's just exposition so that Oliver knows that she's back.
Yeah.
But the fact that they took a scene that otherwise would not have been that interesting, there's a little bit of interesting stuff about, like, you know, what are you gonna do?
Yeah.
She's back. You
and
told
pointing
her to
out this stuff, this idea that why don't you just kill her because you've slept with her? Okay, not a good enough reason to not kill her. Anyways.
But it's kind of a change in Diggle's character, because previously he's been very, like...
Don't... Well, you know why? I think that something about that is prompted by the fact that we have Tommy now coming in as the, like, don't kill people person. Yes. So Diggle has to sort of shift in how he's approaching Errol.
Yeah.
Because he's had time to deal with Ollie being that kind of a person. So it's very interesting.
It's a really fast episode. Yeah. So yes, yellow pants. Yellow pants. She does have yellow pants. Yeah. So the game's back. What color are Thea's pants? And Helena has shown up at Oliver's house.
Yeah.
He's talking to his family. Which this is the I don't know if it's even foreshadowing. I think that it's just her threatening and saying, like, look, you have people that you care about, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So don't you she's essentially using it to coerce him into helping her kill her father. Yeah. So but I just want to go back to the Diggle thing. And the fact that these characters on this show are so dynamic that having Diggle change his position on something like that, it didn't feel out of place.
Yeah.
Because of what happened in the last episode, because we know now Deadshot's back.
Yeah.
And so Diggle is on the warpath, and like that, just that, it's like 2 seconds. It's not even, I think it's like a second long of him looking at a website, at a news report about it. It just says so much about where his character's at now that when he says, you need to kill Helena, she's gonna, like, she can tell the police who we are, what we're doing, we are compromised, you have to do what you have to do here.
Yeah.
And I, like, that's very different from what he's said in the past, from the way that he's treated things.
Mm-hmm.
We get sort of the contractual obligation appearance of Moira in this episode. as a series regular. Mm-hmm. They gotta pay her, so they might as well put her in a team.
But it also works because it sets her up, the our movie Moira, more towards the, like, we're gonna cry when she dies sort of character. What I think is that they keep trying to do with all of these is that, like, oh, look, she's being an actual mother to Ollie and comes in and asks about his opening and is being supportive and all that jazz.
But there's another character that, like, these characters are dynamic and so they're constantly changing. And so when you bring another character in, like you're saying, when you bring Tommy in to be that voice of, like, you're a murderer. And for him, he's a lot more hard-lined about it. Like, he's like, no, you are a murderer, plain and simple. I don't care what your justification for it is.
Yeah.
You have killed people.
Yeah.
That makes you different from me.
Yeah.
I think with Daigle, because he was in the army, because he has taken lives. Yeah, it was just a
different kind of murder,
For him, it was like, you are, like, you're involving innocent people or people who might not necessarily be that bad, right?
Yeah. And it's kind of nice. It's like, thank you for not... I don't know. They just have really nice moments, Diggle and Ollie. I really
It's a good dynamic, and they're just continuing to develop it. But here we get our confrontation, first confrontation scene with Tommy and Oliver since last episode. And this is one of the things that I love about this show.
Mm-hmm.
Other shows would hide this or push it to the back and sort of, like, have a character stew about it in silence or to other characters.
Mm-hmm.
But everything, like, they don't act like characters. They act like people.
Thank you.
Because if I were in that position and something like that were out on the table, I would go to my friend and be like, look, we need to talk about this because we're not going to be able to get past it until we do.
Yeah.
And so Oliver coming in and being like, look, we're opening a club tonight. We have to talk about this.
Yeah.
And then Tommy being like, I'm going to be honest, there's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
I don't know you anymore. Yeah. You might tell me that you're the same person, but you're not because you're so different.
Can I just point out the difference between the CGI island with all the pretty sunshine and then them actually going here and looking at how freaking cold it was out when they were filming this stuff and how rainy and cold.
In January.
This is like the winter in Vancouver. Yeah. When it's like...
They're lucky there wasn't like snow and frost.
I know. Well, no, I think they already had the 2 days. We've passed the 2 days of snow to Vancouver, true. So... But... Oh, man, Manny Bennett is great. Anyways, this is cool. It's like its own little subplot, the idea of... Oh, you know what? You're right. Leverage is a better episode name for this. Like, the idea of, like, why the Huntress returns? Why are they throwing the Huntress in our face? We don't care!
Yeah.
Leverage, though, because then this plot line makes sense, because it's like, hey, And I really like Ollie is finding his groove, and you're totally right. He is sort of like the Robin in this Batman and Robin
team.
Yeah. And he finds
being taught how to do things.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny because actually this is a perfect example of a Batman and Robin relationship where Batman's like, okay, we need to take this head on and do the thing. And then Robin goes, actually, if we're really, you know, quick and clever about it, we can do this, right? Yeah. Like, that's one of the great Batman and Robin dynamics when you have the right Robin.
Yeah.
That's a Tim Drake, Bruce Wayne Batman dynamic, which is my favorite. But, because Oliver is going to say, like, no, we don't just blow it up.
We can use this
to our advantage.
Yeah, that's good. So we're back in the Detective Lance and Laurel talking about Sarah here. You're right. I really like this sort of third plot line, the idea of like the Laurel family and setting something up here, which is really great. I really love just how they set up Detective Lance and Laurel's relationship in terms of like it being a really equal. I don't know, because I mean, I have a really good relationship with my parents, and this idea that you can like go through ups and downs with your parents and treat them like people. I think they like find that really
when you're an adult.
Yeah,
right?
When you're an adult,
because we skipped their adolescence, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like on Smallville where we had to go through that with the characters and watch them grow up.
Yeah.
And have that parent-child relationship. You're right. It is much more of a... They're much more equal.
Yeah, yeah. Still respecting that relationship,
having the father-daughter relationship.
Yeah.
And it's just... you're right. The way that they play that is perfect, and it is interesting because you get that like they respect each other, but you know they can still be mad at each other and still be emotional like family, right?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, they have real characters on the show. I really like
it.
And so we're at the club, and Ollie's super cool hanging out with his mom and his sister at the club.
Sorry, what is Thea drinking?
I know.
Because she's like what, like 17?
She just had her 21st birthday, wasn't it?
No, because she's still in school.
Oh,
right.
18th
because
birthday?
Yeah,
birthday.
I think it was her. I think
she
it was
got
her.
A car.
18th. She got a car, so
maybe
it was
16. Oh, she can't just be 16.
She can't be 16.
No,
I think it was 18.
Something like that. Yeah.
In any case, the drinking age here is 91. The drinking age in the States
drinking
is
age here 20. Is 91.
19. 91. 19.
19. Yeah.
My brain. It's 20. It's 20. 21. There, that's
States,
why.
Yeah. Yeah.
Put them 19 and 21 together, you get 91. That's math. It's brain math. Like I said, 2 weeks off and we forgot how to podcast.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a thing. They do it on 90210s.
Where they're just like, let's just drink here. Oh, anyways, we totally skipped this over, but Huntress has now found Tommy in the club and we're like, uh oh, dun dun dun.
Yeah.
But they also set up really nice. I like that this through line is going through where, like, Thea just mentioned, hey, did you call Roy? Like, it's a small thing, but they're, like, keeping this consistency throughout where it's like, hey, these characters are involved in multiple plots at once.
Yeah.
I love that about this show, too. Like, they're acting like real human beings, and they're doing
I do things. Also like how they're delaying Oliver and Roy...
Meeting. Yeah.
But they're doing it so organically with Roy's character where, like, all of these opportunities that Thea has to bring him in, she's doing everything that she can, but Roy is like, I don't want your charity. It's not my scene. I don't want to park cars for rich people, right?
Yeah.
Like,
I
think it's really great the way that they're doing it.
Oh, poor Tommy being tortured by Huntress. Of all the people to take, why did she take Tommy, though, in all fairness? I don't know. I guess, like...
Because she could. I don't mean because she could, because he was there and she could... He was easy to take, but because we don't have to explain anything extra with him.
Yeah, that's
and
true.
He's new, like, but I think it's really important because it informs their sort of this disjointed relationship now.
Yeah.
Where now Tommy has even more reason because it's like, not only... Are you endangering yourself? Not only are you killing people, but look, if I'm at risk, your family's at risk. Like, you're putting... And I think that's the subtext going on there.
Yeah.
Is that, like everyone you care about is now at risk.
Yeah.
And hopefully at some point somebody says, you should really put a mask on.
Yeah.
Because people know who you are.
Geez.
Stop revealing yourself to everybody.
They will eventually, but I kind of like that they don't actually, and in the rest of this, Tommy doesn't actually bring up the fact that he was held by Huntress. I kept waiting for that conversation to happen, and it didn't. It became about keeping the secret. It didn't become about, like, I get that you're lying to protect me. It wasn't that conversation. Later on, it was the conversation about, oh, I understand how hard it is to keep a secret, which is a different idea. And something that I think is outside the normal, like, yes, this is the reason why we keep secrets, to protect the people we love. That wasn't ever really the conversation that he had with Tommy. It was really about just needing to keep the secret for the sake of, like, I don't know, protecting these things. So it was
I'll just say that was a loaded act one, because that felt like two acts. Oh, yeah. But that was act one, because this is now act two, where they're going to go. They have to find the information first, don't they?
I think so, yeah. And they have to find stuff out. So this and Diggle just plays the audience. I really like it that he's the one that comes in and says all the things that we're thinking. Like, this idea, like, why don't you just kill her? And anyways, so it's she looks like the T-Mobile girl. I kind of liked that. that joke. But also kind of true. He hasn't really killed women. Like, he's fought China White, but there wasn't really, like, another woman that he just full-on killed. Interesting. I just thought about that now. So maybe that's a thing. So
And I think there's also a little bit of a savior thing going on here, where, like, he's saying he sees all of the correlation between what's going on with Helen and what happened with him, and so if he's safe, like if he can be rescued, then so can she, right? Because honestly, he fell further, right? Like, he watched his father take his own life in front of him, and then he was tortured on an island, and then, like, we don't even know what else has happened to him in the 5 years.
I kind of like their relationship with Felicity here when she comes in, and how Ollie's just like, get out right now. But Diggle comes up and is kind of like, I think Diggle's taking, like, a nice, like, older brother thing to Felicity. I really like Diggle and Felicity. I know that, like, they don't have a ton of screen time together, but, like, when they do, I think it's really genuine and lovely. I like it. They make a nice team.
But it was good. It was a good... You know, that character's around. We're not ignoring her. She's around. But this is not the sort of thing. Like, Felicity said she's there to help find Walter, but she doesn't want to be involved in
other things.
Else. Yeah. And Oliver is respecting that at the same time as protecting her, because he saw what happened with Tommy.
Yeah.
And he's like, go now, because this is, like, I can barely handle this woman. Yeah. You can't handle this. Yeah. You need to leave.
Can we just, like, relish for a moment here in the awesomeness of Slade Wilson just, like, being all like, hey, everybody, just come here.
Waste a single round.
No.
Crystal walked in at the... I was watching this. She was doing the dishes or something like that. And she was kind of watching for that 1 second. And I was like, that was so awesome. Yeah. And she just looks at me like, I don't get it. She just doesn't get the superhero thing.
Awesome.
When it's like superheroes like that, the edgier, darker ones.
Yeah.
And I was like, do you not understand? He didn't waste a single round. Every single one of those shots hit somebody. That is cool. That is awesome. That makes him scary and hardcore and all of the things that you want Deathstroke to be.
Yeah. So here we have a Tommy Laurel scene. And I just want to point out again, Laurel's not stupid. She's no Lois Lane. I'm just going to put it out there. She's no, like, what do you mean you aren't here when Superman's here and you're
sitting here? Lois is a person who can't see the forest for the trees, okay? She's not dumb.
No, she just...
But she's very eyes forward, and so she has blinders. She doesn't have a lot of
peripheral And, vision. I mean, I love Lois Lane. I love her. I think she's one of the best, characters in comics, but... Laurel is different.
She's not right now completely neutered and ruined her character in the new 52. But previously
to that.
Yeah.
Yes. But I kind of like it. Again, she's a real person where she's like, hey, guess what? I'm not stupid. I know that you're coming here and you're lying, and just like, I just really think it's great. And it's like they have real
and
relationships.
They flipped the script on us again because we were sitting there going, oh, you know what's going to happen is that she's going to like get all close with the vigilante.
Yeah.
And then it's going to drive a wedge between them. No. He's gonna get all close with the vigilante, and that's gonna drive the wedge between
them. Oh, it's totally... Wow.
Like, blow
God,
our freaking
so
minds with how...
It's so true!
They,
oh my gosh!
You're like, they're gonna go left, and they go right. And you're like, you know what? Last time we thought they were gonna go left, and they went right. They're gonna go right again.
Yeah.
Then they go left, and you're like...
What?
Leave us alone! Just give us a predictable story, but don't. This is awesome.
No,
it's so great. Because again, like we get this little bit here where Thea shows up to confront Roy, and you think that's gonna be it, but she's in the Glades, and these sketchy dudes pop out—really handsome sketchy dudes,
but
sketchy dudes nonetheless.
And he
and
just
he
like,
just,
oh, he just like
out of it.
Man, it's so good, and just beats the crap out of these
guys. He's got a lot of rage.
Holy.
He's a Red Lantern for sure.
He's so sexy and lovely. Roy Harper is now...
But, man, I want to know if he did the stunts himself or if they had somebody else do it. He had the hood up, but...
You never know.
I mean,
I don't think he did the parkour thing.
You don't think so?
Really? I don't know. Maybe. Oh, that would be amazing.
Stephen Amell does a lot of his own stuff.
That's true.
Manu Bennett does a lot of his own stuff.
Oh, man, that's so awesome.
This show has I think that they're in the habit of hiring superheroes that can be superheroes.
Davy Street.
Right?
They're on Davy Street. I love it. Downtown. Why would they drive downtown? That's really like, and that's the bridge coming over. Sorry, I love seeing Vancouver where I'm like, wow, this is like a main street in downtown Vancouver that they had
to
film.
We're not
going
to be able to show you guys that location unless we go at like 2 in the morning.
Yeah.
It's like nobody driving.
It's
that's
like
one of the busiest streets in Vancouver.
Yeah, for like a scene that's really, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And now they're in...
Is this the tunnel? Is this the like...
They're
the Massey Tunnel?
Yeah.
That's
not the Massey Tunnel. This is
different. Oh, we probably could have seen it on that street sign, but we didn't.
Oh my god, I drove
Whistler.
It.
Oh, this is
I drove
up to Whistler
it every single weekday.
Yeah,
it's the
North
tunnel
Van?
On the way to North Van.
Yeah.
On the way to the to the second year.
Anyways, well, we just and you know we're talking over it because Ollie just you know shot the thing and nothing was there. So,
yeah, it's
you know,
the action sequences.
It's action sequences. We can talk over that, but yeah, it's good, cool. And,
but then this isn't the same tunnel. This is
no,
this is the Massey Tunnel.
Yeah, I was gonna say no because it's only 2 lanes here. The Massey Tunnel is 4 lanes. This is a different tunnel. I don't know which tunnel this is, but it's cool. Look at all these locations. God, this
and
is an expensive show.
In this
holy, to shut down a tunnel anywhere in Vancouver is freaking expensive.
Yeah, but I think that it's night, right? So they're probably shooting, and it's the winter, so they get
true.
A lot of
that's true. Though. So this is interesting. So the cops, we have to figure out, I'm just, you know, how convenient for Ollie that the cops were only on this car and not the other car. I just, I don't know.
I really like her mask and I really wish that Oliver had one.
Yeah. I don't know why he doesn't.
Because it looks so good. Like, you can tell that they're costume designers, like, they've got it down.
Yeah.
He doesn't even have the makeup on right now.
Yeah. Well, because he's not really, I think he's trying to not be Arrow right now because he's, like, helping the Huntress. And I think that it's, like, whenever he's on the bike, he's not really, like, Green Arrow. So.
But he was wearing
his
Arrow.
That was a cool shot with all that fog and the yellow light and the blue and very cool.
So, what we don't want to happen has happened. Which is that the Huntress has been captured by the police because it was a decoy van. He kind of let her get captured by the police. I thought he was going to bust in there and save her. But then, because, like I said, we don't want it to happen because she could very easily just sell him out, right?
Yeah.
And in fact,
well,
they give her the opportunity, and she kind of does for a second, but...
I thought it was very...
They play a trick on us.
I love that they're not dumb. Like, again, she is handcuffed to this bar table because they realize how dangerous she is. I just love that they're just very much realistic in how they're treating people.
I like
people
that you're quite the hunter.
Yeah.
I guess we should make that Huntress. That's the first time I think she's referred to as Huntress, though, right?
Probably. I think so, yeah. I don't think they really talked it. talked about it, her like that before. So
there's McKenna, and that little, that's foreshadowing right there. Her look at McKenna.
Oh yeah,
and her, then yeah. her, what she does in a second here when yeah. when they say, "Who is he? Tell yeah. us, and we'll go light on. We'll go yeah. easy on you."
Yeah,
and then she says Oliver Queen. And you see Detective Lance go, "I got him! Yeah. I finally got him!" And then, you know, she's like, "It's your boyfriend, right?"
And you're like,
"Ah!" Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so funny.
Yeah, so there it is, Oliver Queen. And she looks at him and they're like...
Oh, and then McKenna.
And then they
there was a moment there, though, where McKenna was like, oh. Like, I think that she yeah. genuinely was like...
I now see. We'll sort of talk about it towards the end of the episode, but I think that they Helena just planted the seed mm-hmm. in there, and yeah. I think that it might be part of the reason why McKenna leaves and yeah, tells him not that. To come.
Yeah. Oh, this is Burn. How she's like poking at like it's so brilliant that these plot lines are all conversing because it's the third plot line that makes you realize that that one line where he says daughters or where she says daughters just like yeah. hits him in a way that. Just really, it's just so, the writing in this show is so amazing. Why do they keep calling him the Hood? Why couldn't she call him Arrow? It's not that hard. Anyways, this is not smart. Don't both leave her in this room. You're so silly. Oh, that there's just like fog outside. This is yeah. so unnecessary. But, you know, it's good. And I just love Helena. I don't know. I guess maybe I kind of like her in the scene where she's kind of like, yeah, obviously he's coming to rescue me. And they just like, it's, I don't know. You can see how pissed off Ollie is in the scene, too, when he's coming to get her. He's like, this is the last thing I want to be doing right now is rescue.
And then he gets him with one of his flechettes with a yeah. with a knockout dart.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. And then Roy and Thea. Thea in this episode didn't bother me as much as she did in other episodes, and it could be because of this, like...
I like what they've done yeah. with her recently. Yeah. I think yeah. that they kind of hurt us. Not us specifically. Maybe us specifically, but I don't think us specifically. I think the fans in general yeah. saying, sort of like, yeah, the weak point in the series was Thea.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so what they did was they instantly, like, just toned her way down,
mm-hmm.
put her character in the back,
mm-hmm.
With the exception of the Vertigo episode.
Right, yeah, yeah.
But even then, like, she was like, kind
facilitating
of...
facilitating all yeah, of that stuff, yeah.
But she was secondary to mm-hmm. that plot.
This is brilliant, by the way. I just think it's,
Hay
like...
doesn't like needles, so yeah. she just...
You know what? It's a great... I just think it's just, like, a very interesting...
It gives the CW audience what yeah, they want, but does. At the same time, it develops characters yeah. and
it served a purpose. It wasn't, like, a superfluous thing. It was just kind of, like, this, like, character choice that she yeah. made, and it's... Anyways, yeah. It's
But, yeah, like, as they sort of bring her back into the show,
mm-hmm.
I feel like they're doing it by steps, and they're doing it in... a way that they can reintroduce her as a much more interesting character.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, whether she's going to stick around or not, we'll have to wait and see. Because
yeah.
I think that she's one of the characters who could have a...
untimely death.
Yeah. That yeah. could motivate other characters to do vigilante-type things. especially with what they're doing with Roy. But at the same time, I think that she's also one of their romantic...
Yeah.
Sort of. Because they don't want to... Yeah. I feel like they don't want to hammer that with Oliver.
No,
like they definitely have some stuff going on with him and McKenna in this episode,
mm-hmm.
but as we find out, that kind of comes to an end.
Yeah.
Even still, when it was happening, it was kind of secondary to
yeah.
the plot.
They need some sort of through line with it. Yeah. That's the problem. They have these romantic relationships, but I like it when it doesn't, because I don't think
yeah.
it's unnecessary in Ollie's character, especially
yeah.
right now. Like,
so they've got well, you've kind of talked over the scene, but they've kind of got their plan to go find her father. And
no, he sent her. Didn't he send her away? She got caught. He rescued her, and the Huntress has now got a plane ticket to go away.
Yes, that's right.
Yes. And that's how it left. And now we're back on the island, and Ollie comes up with the idea of knowing electronics, and it's just interesting. And now we're back
yeah.
to Ollie coming to McKenna's house. So, you know, sort of interesting. She's coming out of the shower, very timely. with this. But, I mean, it's kind of cool that they, like, I don't know, they sort of talked about, like, the stage of their relationship and where they are, and that it is kind of weird that he's showing up.
I feel like that's Laurel's apartment with a different door.
Oh, really? It would be much easier for the sets.
Well, because they, like, why would you build a set for a location that you're going to use this time and never again?
Yeah, they can just move things around. That makes much
sense. Yeah, because they're keeping everything in soft focus. I feel like they just changed her door. Put a different number on it.
Yeah, I could see that. Let's see. I want to see if I can, like, pick things out now.
Well, anyway, those windows and the French doors.
Yeah, I was going to say really close. Yeah, this is...
That's totally her apartment.
It
has
to be.
That's totally, totally Laura's
apartment. Like, redressed.
That's why everything's in soft focus in the background.
Yeah.
It's funny, because it works. It's really artful and nicely done, but they're hiding.
Serves a purpose, yes.
They're hiding.
Yeah. I actually really like this about their relationship. The idea that you never have to apologize. I actually kind of like their relationship in this. I don't know. In a 45-minute episode, they made me actually really like this episode and then kind of... I mean, I didn't cry when she left or anything, but I mean...
It was a little bit... Yeah, you feel for all of them. Yeah, I mean, I think that's what they want.
Because... And McKenna was like a strong, well-rounded character that really just like... could handle Ollie in a way that, like, she didn't have to be the Huntress, which I think was really nice. Like, she didn't have to handle him in, like, a... Like, she is, like, physically strong, but also she's just, like, emotionally coherent and there and understands things. And then Felicity is calling him, which is interesting. There's a nice through line to this episode. Like, everything sort of is moving from one thing to another.
Well, because her popping in for that 1 second made her a target.
Yeah.
And Oliver was right to send her away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because, you know...
Tig's words, not mine. I love this because you know that they've had a conversation. Again, I love this that they've rounded it out that Felicity and Diggle had a conversation about Ollie and the Huntress. Like,
it's like... I love that it's a team and that, like, they could have very easily made this a show about one person's vendetta.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But what they've done is, like, that was the start. That was the impetus for it.
Yeah.
But they've turned it into a show about a team of heroes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, essentially one hero and his support staff. Yeah. But, like, they're heroic in their own rights as well.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From time to time.
Yeah.
Diggle, more so. But like, it's just... They've got such a great dynamic that you believe all of these characters are connected and have relationships. And that when they're not on screen, that there's a life going on behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Which I think Smallville, that was something that they never really did, right? Like, Smallville was always like, we have to jump in and see what everybody is up to all the time.
Yeah.
Because we could never just refer to something that happened off screen.
Yeah.
And anytime they did, it was very, like,
name-dropping. I was so worried that Felicity was dead, because when I was TiVoing it, I only saw her feet, and I was like, no! And I had to fast-forward and be like, oh, right. Or rewind it. I love her shoes. God, I love everything about Felicity. I really like just, like,
nice
what they, like, it's just so, like... Anyways. And then they're all here to help with Felicity.
They keep taking her glasses off.
Yeah.
Remember how she's hot, you guys? She's hot with the glasses, you idiots.
Yeah.
You idiots, but...
Mind you, in all fairness, if she was on the ground, maybe her glasses fell off. Who knows?
Yeah, no. It's just...
Yeah. But it's... Yeah. They
it just feels like they keep trying to go, like...
Look at her. She's pretty. Oh, anyways, and
she's
so
a hot nerd.
Now we have found the safe house, so we know Helena is here, so that's the whole thing setting it up, that she... I love that, she just is taking out all of these guys in the safe house with their guns. There's a lot of security around this one guy. Like,
it's funny, because I read something recently, I don't remember where it was, but I read something recently about arrows, and about how much actual impact an arrow has, and how... I think somebody posted one thing on our Facebook page, but they're related, but not the same thing, about how an arrow to the head won't necessarily kill you. Like, if it hits you in the eye, like, it doesn't actually have enough... It has enough impact to put itself in, but not to go all the way through. Because it's human powered, right?
Yeah,
like,
I'm
Ollie's using a compound bow, which means it's a little bit stronger.
Yeah.
But... maybe it was a Mythbusters.
Oh.
It was a Mythbusters that I was watching. They were talking about arrows and how many pounds per square inch you can get behind an arrow.
Yeah. Oh, I love this. sorry, just a small thing that you know Detective Lance on the thing saying that's an order. You're like, she's gonna die. She's gonna die. Yeah. Yeah. And it's just,
Second that happened, you know, like, she's gonna get in trouble. Yeah. But yeah, anyways, but arrows actually aren't entirely lethal. Oh. So as much as these characters have been running around shooting people up with arrows and killing them, quote unquote, dink dink, this is entirely believable. That somebody could train themselves to catch an arrow mid-flight.
That's cool.
Because the speed that an arrow travels at is not faster than a human being can deal with. Yeah. Bullets are faster than human beings can deal with.
I actually kind of like her reaction here, where she like takes it. She's like, see, I caught your arrow. I knew you were going to do that. She's like, oh my god, you almost killed me. Like, it's this interesting...
Yeah, you actually would have. I didn't think that you would have.
This nice moment.
Because they did have a connection. I think they had a legitimate connection.
They did, yeah.
But... this is what makes her a tragic character, and I think this is what they're trying to go for, and I don't know if it's the actress or if it's the way that they've written it, but it's like, not coming across that she is really tragic because she doesn't realize how far she's fallen. She looks at what Oliver has done, and she uses that as justification for what, you know, and I think this moment here where she shoots McKenna is retaliation for... him firing the arrow at her.
I do
like that it's a shotgun, that it hits her in the lower abdomen.
Yeah.
So most of her, like, her vital organs are all safe.
Yeah.
So we know she's not dead.
Yeah.
Right? But it chews up her leg.
Yeah.
And so you're like, that's...
Yeah.
That's a big deal, right? Like, she's not okay.
Yeah.
She might be able to recover from it, but she's not going to get better.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, this show is good.
They care about stuff. Yeah. Like, I feel like on other shows, that would have been a gunshot wound to the shoulder.
Yeah.
Which is actually incredibly fatal most of the time because there's so many arteries and stuff in your torso, and that you can die very easily from a gunshot wound anywhere in your torso, which is why that's where people shoot.
Stephen Amell did a good job here with this, like, before entering the hospital thing.
But they thought about it and they went, well, if it's a shotgun, it's going to be a spread, and if most of it is absorbed by her vest, but the side of her thigh gets chewed up, that's something that you could believably survive, but they would... be a long road to recovery, and that they could do what they want to do here. So they actually thought about it. They didn't just shoot her and then go, oh, it's going to be rehab and she's got to leave, or she's afraid of guns now, so she's going to leave the force or something.
Yeah,
it's really like her moment of like, I love being a cop, and him being like, you're fine, you're still a cop, and it's like, no, she's going to work behind a desk for the rest of her life. She's not gonna be a detective that runs around after bad guys and stuff.
And she's going to Coast City. Sad. Sorry, we're just watching this. And Ollie's... I really like this dynamic between the two of them here, this conversation. The idea that she gets it. Like, from their earlier conversation, it was a small thing where, like, you just have to find someone that you don't have to apologize to. This idea that they both sort of, like, understand where the other one is coming from, and I really like it that she just... tells him to not, to just stop it. To be like, I understand where we are, but I'm also based in reality, and I understand our relationship and what it means, and that she doesn't say, oh, I'm like this tragic character, and I'm so broken now, and I need you. She's like, no, you know what? I'm going to go fix myself, and I'm really sorry. I like what we had, but it's just, I don't know. And Ollie, you can see that it sort of breaks him, but...
Yeah. Now, you don't think that there's a little bit of
that she might get...
that she might suspect that he's the vigilante, and that's why she's... that's one of the reasons why she's like, I'm leaving, I'm not coming back?
You know what? It could be a bit too close for her. I don't know if it's the vigilante so much as it is, like, a subliminal thing that, like, this Huntress person mentioned Ollie, and it's something... like, I could see there being some sort of subtext, but I don't think it's as obvious as maybe other things are. Anyway, so we've got Detective Lance and Laurel's mom. Who, did they call her Dinah? I have no idea what they've...
Well, she would be Dinah Lance.
Is that... so. Okay. Yeah. I don't know if they've just called her mom. Anyways. But it's kind of interesting. Apparently, these guys had, like, worked together on something before, too. I didn't, like, look into it. I don't know, but there was... Oh, Alex Kingston. My God, her name has eluded me this entire time. But anyways, there was a photo of Paul Blackthorne and Alex Kingston on Paul Blackthorne's Twitter, being like, it's so great to be reunited with Alex.
Well, you know that you can put two names in on IMDb, and it'll show you everything that they've worked on together.
Yeah, I do know that. But I'm watching Arrow right now, and Tommy and... what's his face? We're talking, so it's
Tommy and what's his face? You know, the main character, Tommy Oliver.
Yeah.
Well, and this is where sort of
you get
Tommy.
That
Tommy, I feel like Tommy will come around. I feel like it's going to be a hard road.
To
it, but he will come around. He will understand. Mm-hmm. I think what they're setting up is that. He will come around eventually, and it'll be a long, long, hard road to it. And when he does, is when he'll die, or when something will happen, when Merlin will die, and so he'll become the bad guy, right?
That's
like,
so upsetting.
I mean, like they're really setting him up.
They really are setting up him to be
to have a turn.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. No way, I think I just discovered that Paul Blackthorne was in Lagan. I don't know, I'm on IMDb and I haven't fully gone there yet. Oh my God, I love the movie Lagan! It's like this Hindu film that, it's like one of the... Sorry, I went to IMDb while we were in the middle of this.
Okay.
I just love the movie more.
It's fine. Sorry. Last scene of the episode.
Okay, we are. We're watching it.
And
Ollie's being kind of awesome here, using the leverage.
Yeah, well, becoming a superhero.
Yeah.
In this moment.
In like an awesome way too. He's not all like
on his terms.
Rah, rah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's so great. Oh.
I just love how intelligent they've made his character.
Yeah.
And they, you know, it took him a little while to realize where he was, the situation that he was in. Yao Fei was not the right mentor for him at this stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Important for him to survive, but
not like
Slade is the person that he needs right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's what we've seen is that in that partnership he's come into his own.
Yeah.
But he's also bringing something to it. He's not just being like Slade Jr.
Yeah.
He's going like, no, there's another way. Like there's other stuff that we can do. Yeah. And then here we go. This is the preview for next week, which really doesn't give a lot of information.
But there's lots of Roy Harper in it, which is
there
nice.
Is lots of Roy Harper in
and
it.
And interesting things. Oh, Thea, very sad. Oh, it's going to be a Roy Harper episode. I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah, I'm curious to find out whether or not they've made up this other guy, the bad guy for the next episode, specifically for Arrow, or if he's an existing character, because we don't really have a lot of information on that
but
yet.
What it's, yeah.
But,
yeah. Sorry, in my IMDb-ing, I'm pretty sure that Paul Blackthorne and Alex Kingston were together on ER, because that's what Alex Kingston was from, and he did a couple episodes there. So they have worked together before, which is kind of cool. They're coming into it, like, knowing each other a little bit, which is great. And by the way, Paul Blackthorne was in something called Leverage. So, you know.
I think there was a show called Leverage, wasn't there?
Probably. That's probably exactly what it is. Anyways, but very exciting.
Good episode.
Things. Yeah.
When you start to break it down. But I think on first view,
it wasn't.
Not the greatest. So hopefully we've helped everybody realize how much great stuff there was in that episode. Mm-hmm. That's what we're here for, I think.
Yeah, that's our job.
But it's funny because I find when the A plot is really strong, the B and C plot tend to suffer.
Yeah.
But when the A plot's really weak, the B and C plot are great.
Yeah.
And that's kind of a recurring thing with the way that they write these shows.
It shows a well-rounded development in all the storylines.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, if the A plot is really good, I think the B and C plot only suck by comparison. I don't think they're necessarily awful. Fair. So it's this idea that like there really are so many strings that hold the show up and make it just always really good, right? So it's like even if there's sort of like a meh episode, you still get enough that you're really invested in what's happening and the ideas. And I just want to point out, they keep not wrapping up things wholly. They bring enough things, through lines in for each thing that, like, well, some stuff got resolved in this episode. I'm going to say not a lot got resolved in this episode. I would say actually only McKenna leaving got resolved in this episode.
Yeah.
Huntress went away. Roy Harper, we don't know what's going on with him and Thea. Yeah. It's setting something up. Detective Lance is now looking for his daughter. Like, there's all these things that are actually just introduced in the episode.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The plot that we maybe should have wrapped up with the Huntress actually didn't get wrapped up. And anyways.
Because she gets away.
Yeah, yeah. So it's just very...
Did she kill her dad?
No, he ran off into the woods.
Yeah, so he got away.
He got away and she got away.
He ran off into the woods, but so did she. I wonder if they met up at some point, but...
You never know, maybe.
Yeah, I think that the next time that we see that character, hopefully won't be for a while.
Yeah.
Hopefully at least not until next season. It's going to be very interesting. Yeah. Oliver's going to have a lot of reason to take her down the next time he sees her.
Yeah.
I feel like some stuff has to happen in the interim.
Yeah.
For her character, and I think that the next time we see her, she has to come back and be different.
Oh, yeah.
She has to come back and be changed. Now, just to sort of play devil's advocate a little bit and to address some of the hate for the Huntress's character, I'm just going to say, this is very much what she's like in the comic books. She, dealing with Batman, okay? And, Batman is the most intimidating character in the entire DC universe. You don't want Batman on your bad side. She pretty much gives Batman the finger every chance she gets. And even though they work together from time to time, or they'll sort of be working in conjunction on things, more often than not, they're at odds. And it's this sort of thing where Batman's like, well, we don't kill. We don't use guns. We don't... That's not heroes, right? Like... that's not the way that we do things. And she'll be like, look, whatever gets the job done, and, you know, you have your ethics or whatever, but what good does it do? All of these villains are still running around.
Right.
I put them in the ground, right? Like, that sort of thing. So that's been their dynamic in the comics. And they have their touching moments every now and then where they'll relate to each other and, you know, get to the core of what's really going on with Helena's character. But more often than not, they're at odds, and it's a very tense relationship, a very tense partnership when it is a partnership. So, I think when we see Helena again, when we see the Huntress return for a second time, then when they do it, they have to retain some of that because otherwise they're not being true to the character. Yeah. But I think what they need to do is they need to have her go away. I would love for them to acknowledge Gotham or something of that accord and have her come back and be like, and the next time they sort of see each other, that Oliver's ready to take her out. And she's like, look, I know that what I did was wrong. I know that I've been on the wrong path. Someone showed me and put me back, you know, where I'm supposed
to be. And that she developed, and it's not just about killing her dad. It's just like that it's informed who she is. And
yeah, so like if we see her next season or later on down the road come back, that I would love for them to do that off-screen development, have her come back and express it. I would love for them to insinuate that Batman or a Batman character was involved in it. I mean, honestly, my storyline for that would be that she leaves, she goes to Bloodhaven, and in Bloodhaven she meets Nightwing, and Nightwing is the one, because Dick Grayson was always the lighter side of Batman, right? Dick Grayson was the one who was keeping Batman from going all the way into the darkness.
Yeah.
So, having that character be alluded to or show up. I mean, they wanted to do a show called The Graysons that was going to have Dick Grayson as he becomes like a superhero. Whether it's Robin, it wouldn't have been Robin, I don't think, because it wouldn't have been with Batman, because they wouldn't have had Batman in the show. And his parents wouldn't have been dead yet, so he wouldn't have quite been superhero, but it would have been sort of like leading towards that.
Yeah.
So the CW and Warner Brothers want to bring that character to the small screen. I would love it if he showed up on Arrow.
That would be
I think in the way that they brought Green Arrow into Smallville, I feel like they could do the same thing with Arrow by bringing in Dick Grayson. I really feel like he's a character that if he showed up in season 3,
And was sort of the counter to Oliver's mm-hmm. sort of dark edginess. Yeah. And he came in and he was the same thing, but much more lighthearted and fun. Mm-hmm. I feel like that could be a really cool character. So if they brought him in and at the same time, or if their allusion or introduction to that character existing in this world was a story with Huntress coming back
yeah.
and saying, you know, like, yeah. He fixed me, essentially. Like, they had a relationship or something.
Yeah.
Then you can, like, I don't know.
It's feasible. It's feasible, and I feel like
that's
it.
That would yeah. be my story. If I yeah. if I was the one writing it,
yeah.
that's what I would,
it would fit.
Bring in. But now I've put unrealistic expectations out there, so.
It's okay. We okay. can dream.
But that's I think that's it for us this week.
Yeah,
we've kind of talked the episode to death.
We have, and we talked for a good 45 minutes before we started recording this episode. We just has been talking like genre all day, and it's lovely. I miss recording when we're not recording for 2 weeks. So mm-hmm. thanks for listening to us and letting us talk to you, because I really, it's part of my life now, and I really like it. Well, and
thanks for talking to us.
Yeah,
because you guys are awesome about sending in emails and the conversation on. Mm-hmm. The Facebook page awesome, is really yeah. great. I really want to see more of people commenting on other people's comments.
Oh, yeah, and having conversations.
So I'm going to put that out there, because you guys are really great about posting your comments. But and you know what? It's really difficult, because when you go to our Facebook page, it's mm-hmm. sort of off to the side. Mm-hmm. If people want, what I do with Frontlines is we have the Facebook page, but then we also have a Facebook group. So if people are interested, I can set up a Facebook group mm-hmm. where discussion is a lot more
fluid.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense there, because mm-hmm. on the page, what you have to do is you go to the page. You don't get notified when somebody posts there.
Yeah, yeah.
We do, but but followers of the page don't. Mm-hmm. But you have to scroll down and look to the right, and I think it's underneath our likes or something like that.
Yeah, it's like all comments,
yeah, recent so, comments. Yeah. And you can see, but they're all like minimized. I don't like yeah. the way that it does that. Yeah. I would much prefer it if they were in the timeline yeah, like our yeah. post. But yeah. But if you guys write in or post on the Facebook page, send us messages, tweet at us, whatever. If you guys want us to set up a Facebook group, kind of like a forum for you guys to all have conversations. I mean, we'll also be in there to talk yeah. about stuff. So if that's something that people are interested in, I'll do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't take anything to do
yeah.
it. So,
yeah. Could be fun.
But I won't set it up if people aren't interested. So.
Awesome. That's awesome. So yeah, get a hold of us with your comments. We like your emails. I appreciate giving us insight to things. So mm-hmm. mail@quiverpodcast.com is how you can reach us via email.
You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/quiverpodcast and on Twitter at twitter.com/quiverpodcast or just @quiverpodcast.
Mm-hmm. You can also follow us separately. I appreciate when people have conversations with me on my Twitter, so @akonkin, akonkin. You can reach me there.
And I'm @arkwulf, arkwulf.
So we'll keep the conversation going. And we will see you next week. I'm really excited. We'll get some more Roy Harper, some more
yeah.
things happening, so thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Catch you later, Arrowheads.